You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, we're continuing a series today called Powerful Life, a series that we started last week, and we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And today I want to do something a little bit different. I want to talk to you about the person of the Spirit. I want to talk to you about who He is. I want to talk to you about His role in our lives. Now, when I think about the person of the Holy Spirit, who He is, I think about relationships. And I think one of the greatest things in any close relationship, whether it's a relationship with a good friend, whether it's a relationship with a family member, maybe a relationship with your spouse, I think one of the greatest things about any relationship is companionship. Because sometimes we just need somebody to be with us. How many of you know that's true? You just need people to be with you in this journey of life. Sometimes you just need somebody to be there for you. And when I think about this, I think about some of the greatest duos in world history. I mean, what would Batman have been without Robin? In fact, I heard Adam West passed away. Did I hear that? Is that true? Rest in peace, Batman. What would Batman have been without Robin? What would Han Solo have been without Chewbacca? Come on, any Star Wars fans in here? I'm not even going to try to do the Chewbacca noise because I can't do it. How about this one? What would Michael Jordan have been without Scottie Pippen? Any Air Jordan fans? Remember that dynamic duo? Pippen should get a lot more credit because he really helped contribute to those six championships that Jordan won. What would Barbie be without Ken? Come on. I mean, she would just be so lonely and incomplete, right? But thank God she found love in Ken, and his hair always is just so perfect. How about this one? What would President Obama be without Joe Biden? Bros for life, right there. Very public bromance they had between the two of them. You know, I could be mean today and I say, what would President Trump be without James Comey? But that wouldn't be nice. That wouldn't be nice. I know that's dominating the headlines these days. We're going to be nice this morning. You know, we find strength when somebody has our back, when we know that somebody is in it with us, right? I mean, sometimes we don't even need whoever it is to do anything for us, that friend or that family member. Sometimes we just need somebody to be with us because we find strength when we know that somebody is in it with us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. That's what I want to talk to you about as we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I want to talk to you about who He is. I want to talk to you about His role in our lives and how He's present in our lives and how He's with us. You see, sometimes I think it's hard for people to relate to the Holy Spirit because sometimes He seems really mystical, maybe even spooky. I mean, after all, He's often been referred to as the Holy Ghost. Any of you ever heard of Him called the Holy Ghost growing up in church? Like, is He a ghost? Is He going to haunt me? Like, what is that really all about? And I think, you know, God the Father, we have a more clearer picture of who He is. He's, you know, the creator. He's the sustainer of the universe. He's the one we pray to. He's up there. He's kind of running everything. And then, of course, there's God the Son, Jesus Christ. You know, He's God in flesh and blood, the divine embodiment of love and compassion. And, you know, we have pictures and paintings of Jesus. And so I think, you know, in some ways we have a better idea of who He is. But sometimes we're just not quite so sure about, like, the Holy Spirit and how personable He is and how we relate to Him. And so I want to talk to you about that today because I think we have this question of, you know, who exactly is He? Sometimes we haven't even stopped to really think about that. So there's a lot of things we could say about that. But I would say most importantly, first of all, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, right? We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Godhead. You see, God has revealed Himself to us in Scripture as a triune God, as three persons in one. Now, it's really hard for us to get our heads around that. Listen, I've been to Bible college and seminary, and in some ways, that's even beyond my mind to understand, you know, exactly how the Trinity works. And scholars and theologians for years have tried to explain it. You know, people have used analogies like the egg, right? Like, the egg has three parts. There's the shell, and there's the white, and there's the yolk, and every part is the egg. Which part's the egg? Well, all three parts of the egg, right? But they're distinct, and yet they're all one. But it seems like every analogy we use falls short when it comes to describing this God who's revealed Himself as three in one. But we're going to take a look at a passage today to help us understand a little bit better who the Holy Spirit is. Because as mystical and as big an idea as the Trinity is, it kind of explodes our brains. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is very personal. He's very personal. He's a person. And so we're going to look at a passage that's going to help us understand that. So if you have your Bible or whatever digital device you're using, find John chapter 16. John chapter 16, that's in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Find the fourth gospel, John chapter 16. We're going to look at starting at the beginning of the chapter, the opening verses in just a moment. While you're finding that, let me just set this up for you, okay? Here's what's going on when we get to John chapter 16. This is actually Thursday of Passion Week, the very last week of Jesus' life. And this episode that we're going to read about in just a moment most likely happened after the Last Supper, or maybe even during the Last Supper. And so Jesus begins to prepare his disciples. He tells them, listen, very soon I'm going to be completing my work here, okay? The crucifixion still lay before him, but he begins to tell them, I'm going to soon return to the Father. I'm going to return where I came from, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself, okay? Now listen, you're going to face some difficult things. So he's preparing them. He tells them, you're going to face persecution. You're going to face some difficult times, but you're not going to be in it by yourself. I'm going to send you some help. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And so that's what's going on, and that's what Jesus is explaining here. So John chapter 16, I'm reading from the NIV, starting in verse 1. He says, all of this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Wow, that's a very comforting thought. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate that. Jesus was warning them. He was preparing them. You are going to face opposition. You are going to face persecution. They're going to arrest you. They're going to kick you out of the synagogue. Like, this is what you're up against. Verse 3, he said, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Listen to verse 6. Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things, but very truly I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus prepares them. I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to send an advocate to you. Now skip down. We're going to look at verses 13 and 15 through 15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So here's Jesus. He's sitting down with his disciples, most likely at the Last Supper. He's preparing them for what is to come. And you have to remember that the disciples have been walking closely with Jesus for the past 3 years. They've been traveling with him. They've been sharing meals with him. They've been doing ministry with him. They've been doing life together. And so Jesus is trying to prepare them that he's going to leave them. And this is not an easy thing. And he tells them, it's actually good for you that I'm going to go away. And you know, your first thought is probably like, how is that good for the disciples, right? I'm sure that's what was going through their minds. Like, how is this a good thing? Like, Jesus, we left everything to follow you. We put our lives on hold to follow you. We believe you're the one that came from heaven. We believe you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. Like, we've dropped everything to follow you with our lives. And now you're leaving us and you're telling us that's a good thing? Why is that a good thing? And, you know, you can, if you put yourself in their place, I'm sure you can imagine how they felt. And so one thing I think we have to understand is that while Jesus was on the earth, he limited himself, okay? Here's what the church has believed for 2,000 years. Jesus was both fully God and fully human, right? He never ceased to be God, but he limited himself. In time and space, he walked among us like a human being. Now, Jesus did divine things. Jesus did great miracles, right? Great works of divinity that only he could have done as the Son of God. So he was very much God in the flesh, but he limited himself to being one person as a human being, to time and space. He couldn't be everywhere at one time. He couldn't go with all of the disciples at one time. So very soon, Jesus knew the disciples were going to carry on his work. He was returning to the Father, and he was going to be sending them out. We looked at that passage a few weeks ago. It's called the Great Commission, where Jesus commissioned his disciples, and he said, you're going to go, and you're going to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. So Jesus knew that they needed his presence to go with them everywhere they were going to go. They were going to go in different directions and take the gospel as he led them to all of the different places around the world at that time. And so Jesus knew they were going to need the help of the Holy Spirit, someone who could be with them at all times and in all places. Look at verse 7 again. This is what he said. He said, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the advocate here is the Holy Spirit. And there's several different names that he's called in this passage in different translations. The New American Standard Bible says the helper. The King James Version says the comforter. Some translations say the counselor. See, this is who the Holy Spirit is. You want to know who is the Holy Spirit? How do I relate to the Holy Spirit? This idea of this Holy Spirit at work in my life and at work in the world. Who is he? This is who he is. Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to, he's going to come to you as an advocate, as a comforter, as a counselor, as a helper. He's going to be with you. This is who Jesus was sending into the disciples' lives. This is who Jesus is sending into our lives. If you are a follower of Christ, you're not just a Christian, you're a disciple. This promise is for us. The Holy Spirit is present. He's present in our lives. And so as we ask this question, who's the Holy Spirit? I want us to look at some of these different roles of the Spirit in our lives. And you might want to jot down some notes today. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets. This is a good opportunity to write down some of these things. So number one, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Everybody say helper. The Holy Spirit's our helper. Look at verse 13 again. Jesus said this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit's a helper. Do you ever find yourself in a season of life where you're like, God, I could use some help over here? Hello? Like, God, do you see what I'm going through? Do you see my need? Do you see my situation? Help! I could use some help. Well, guess what? God's got you covered because the Holy Spirit, one of his roles in our lives is he is a helper to us. When you feel tempted, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel confused, when you feel powerless, he's a guide to you. Look at what the scripture says. He says the Spirit of truth is going to be a guide to you. How many of you could use a guide? How many of you could use more of the guidance of God in your life? How many of you facing some situations? Maybe you got some difficult decisions you have to make, and we could just use some help sometimes. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you need help. Come on, just say, look at him and say, you need help. Some of y'all really meant it. Man, you need help, seriously. Pastor, if you only knew, they need help. Sign them up for counseling. They need it. Because sometimes we all just need help. I've been watching the NBA finals this past week. Got any basketball fans in the house? A few of you guys? Okay. Yeah. And, you know, the NBA finals were really interesting this year. Of course, and once again, it's the, you know, Golden State Warriors and the Cavs. No surprise, again. And, you know, last year, the Warriors lost to LeBron James and the Cavs, and they realized they needed some help, didn't they? So what did they do? They went out and got who? Kevin Durant, right? So if you've been watching this season at all, the finals, you know the big difference has been Kevin Durant. That's basically, you know, the story right there. And so here's the deal. You know, Steph Curry is an amazing shooter. Maybe on some good nights you can cover him. Kevin Durant is just a beast. He's amazing. Maybe on some nights you can cover him. But you can't cover Steph Curry and Kevin Durant at the same time. Hello, basketball fans. And so thus the series is Golden State 3 and the Cavs 1. It's pretty much been the Warriors dominating the series except for this last game. And what is the difference? The difference is Kevin Durant. He's the X factor. Listen to me, church. The Holy Spirit is the Kevin Durant in your life, okay? He is the X factor. He is the difference maker. He is the one who can show up in your life and help you in 1,000 different ways. He can help you in ways that you never even saw it coming. He's the X factor in your life because God knows we can't do it on our own. God knows we're weak. God knows we stumble. God knows we fight temptation. God knows that what we have in and of ourselves, we said it last week, is not enough. We need a helper, and that's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A few years ago when Amy and I moved here to start Redemption, we didn't have family and friends in this area, and people have often asked me, how do you start a church when you don't know anybody? I don't know. I'll fill you in when I figure it out because I still don't know how God did it. You know, every now and then I'm on some phone calls helping train church planters with the network I'm a part of, and a lot of times they ask me, how did you recruit people to start your church? And I'm like, honestly, I really don't even know how we did it. But when we got here, you know, I was hustling, trying to meet people. I was doing everything I knew to do. I was using all the training, you know, that I had been trained in learning how to do church planting. So I was setting up social gatherings and meetings to try to meet people. I was putting stuff on social media. I was hustling. If you were living and you were breathing and you had a pulse, we wanted you on our launch team, okay? It didn't matter if you were a member of Al-Qaeda. That's okay. We can forgive that. We just need some people to help us start this church. No questions. Don't ask, don't tell. Okay, we just need some people to help us start this church. And so I'm hustling, you know, trying to meet people. And I joined LA Fitness, the gym here in Portchester. And I know as you look at me today and my imposing physique, it doesn't surprise you that I'm someone who spends hours in the gym. You're right. So I joined LA Fitness and I met, who would you believe I would meet right away on my first day there? Victor Piano, who's sitting right over here. And you know, here I am, I'm getting, Victor's trying to sell me a personal fitness package because he looked at me and he saw how much I needed it. And I think it was like day two, Victor asked me, he's like, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. I moved to this area to start a church. And he wasn't like, he didn't really seem too freaked out by that. And by the next day we talked, Victor said to me, I'm going to help you out with that. Now, listen, I didn't pitch him my vision. I didn't do what I was doing with everybody else. I didn't take him out to lunch and try to sell him on this amazing church we're going to have and all of these things. Like, all Victor said was, no, I'm going to help you out with it. I'm like, really? I didn't even give you the speech yet. Like, you're going to help me out? He's like, yeah, God told me to help you out. And he's still here to this day, 2 years later. See, here's the deal. Come on, give it up for Victor. See, here's my point, church. The Holy Spirit knows how to help you. The Holy Spirit knows how to help you when you don't even know how to help you, okay? I'm sitting here trying to do all of these things, and God had help right there in front of me. And see, the Lord knew that I needed somebody with some muscles who was kind of jacked to help me move stuff around this church. So he was like, here's Victor to help you out so don't kill yourself doing this mobile church, setting things up. The Holy Spirit knows how to help us. He's a helper to us. And see, let me ask you this question this morning. Can we just have an honest moment with ourselves? What's your natural tendency when you're going through a situation in life when you need help? Maybe a difficult situation where something is beyond your means, beyond your capacity. What's your natural tendency? I think some of us, we tend to like just naturally take take the reins by the hands and just take control of our lives, and we're just going to take matters, you know, into our own hands. Any of you tempted to do that? I know I'm tempted to do that. Some of you go into freak out mode. You just begin to freak out. You just have 1,000 different ways that you freak out. I don't know how you respond, but a lot of times our natural tendency is not to stop and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Like, God, I'm inviting you into this situation. Let me say this to you. If whatever you're facing right now, the way you're dealing with it is resulting in fear and anxiety and confusion and strife, like that might be a really good indicator that you might need to lean into the help of the Holy Spirit just a little bit more. That might just be a really good indicator that you need to lean into the help of the Holy Spirit. And see, I find myself praying more and more often, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I mean, listen, I can be thick-headed. I've hit my head against a brick wall enough times trying to take matters into my own hands, you know, but I'm starting to get the point that I really need to lean on the help of the Holy Spirit. It's a very powerful prayer, just a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, help me out, because sometimes you just got to stop and pray that prayer. Some of you, you're in a situation in life right now where you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need some divine help. You need some help that's outside of yourself, outside of your capacity, outside of your wisdom, outside of your resources. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is a helper to us. Here's the second thing. The Holy Spirit is also our advocate. He's not only our helper, but he's an advocate. Everybody say advocate. Now, this word translated advocate here is an interesting word from the original Greek in the New Testament. It's actually a word it's the word paraclete, not parakeet like the bird. The Holy Spirit's not the parakeet, he's the paraclete. Now, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of Greek here, but this is a really fascinating word. It comes from two words that are put together, para, which means from close behind, and kaleo, which means to make a call. So literally, the paraclete is a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call because they're close enough to the situation. It's a fascinating word, isn't it? Somebody who's close enough to make the right judgment call. You ever have somebody try to give you advice who's not really in the situation? Like, they're distanced from the situation and they're trying to help you. They're trying to tell you what to do. And like, you're like, you don't understand. Like, you don't get the details. You're not close enough to this thing to really give me sound advice. Have you ever been there before? That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is close enough to you to help you make a good judgment call. That is just so reassuring to me. That is just so good to me, because, you know, sometimes we have this temptation to feel like God is afar off, that God is aloof, that he's this distant God. And sometimes it feels that way, especially when God's not doing things on our timetable. He's not working things out the way we thought he would. Sometimes in our human frailty, we can begin to believe that God is somewhere far off. But this tells me that the Holy Spirit is close enough to me. He's a paraclete. He's an advocate. He's somebody who's close enough to me to help me make the right judgment call. Look at this other verse here. On another occasion, In Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus told the disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to be an advocate to them. And listen to this. This sounds very legal. He says, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. See, this is another warning that Jesus was giving his disciples, that they were going to face some persecution. He's like, yeah, they're going to drag you out and arrest you at times. They're going to try to come against you, make false accusations against you. But don't worry about what to say, because the Holy Spirit is the legal advocate. He's going to be there with you to help you out. He's going to give you some advice. You know, when I think about this, I think about an attorney, right? What does an attorney do? Why do you pay an attorney? You pay them to give you legal advice, legal counsel, right? Which is a very fancy word for super expensive advice. Hello? I wish I could charge for pastoral advice what lawyers charge for legal advice. Pastor Jeremy, can I see you after church for prayer? We need to talk about some things. I need your advice. Yeah, let me just talk to you, pray with you, give you some advice when I'm done praying with you. That'll be $350, please. Right? Because lawyers, the help they give is that they are trained in the law. They're experts in the law. So they help give us legal advice. They counsel us. They look out for us. They speak for us. If you were in court and you had a good lawyer, you would shut up and say nothing and just let the lawyer do the talking, right? And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He's the one speaking into our lives. He's the one giving wisdom. He's the one giving counsel to us. He's an advocate to us. He's on your side. He's got your back. He's with you. He's with you. How much trouble would it save us in life if we consulted the Holy Spirit before we did or said a lot of things? Come on, how many of you know that's true? If we stopped and consulted the Holy Spirit, you know, your boss is getting on your nerves and you just really want to curse him out. Holy Spirit, what should I do in this situation? The Holy Spirit reminds you, you probably don't need to lose your job because you have some bills to pay. You might not want to do that, right? Come on, husbands, your wife comes to you and says, honey, I feel like I've been gaining weight lately. How do I look in this outfit? Holy Spirit, help me with the right words to say right now, if there was ever a time, right? Some of you single people who are dating online, you know, you're checking out your situation online and, oh, well, this person's interested in me. Their profile's a little bit sketchy, but they're really attractive. Maybe I'll just meet them for just one drink. I don't know. Holy Spirit, what do you think? No, right? How much trouble would it save us if we would consult the leading of the Holy Spirit when we made decisions before we opened our mouths? Now imagine this for just a moment. Imagine that Jesus could literally be with you physically, just like he was with the disciples. Imagine Jesus could be with you every day in your everyday life, get up with you, commute with you to work, go with you all about your day in the office, whatever you do, be with you while you're home, taking care of your kids. Imagine Jesus could go with you and be there at all times to give you advice, to look out for you, to be your defender, to be the one to help you make wise decisions, to keep you strong when you're tempted. Like, wouldn't it be amazing? It'd be amazing to have Jesus physically with you all the time. But here's the thing. We know that that's not going to happen. But Jesus promised his disciples that he was going to send his Spirit to be there to guide them at all times. This is literally the word picture he's giving them. He's like, look, it's going to be like I'm there with you at all times, everywhere you go. And that may sound like a little bit of a stretch for some of you, but I'm telling you, when you walk with God long enough and you begin to cultivate a sense of this, an awareness of this, the Holy Spirit is with you. He's with you. There are not many times that I've made the wrong decision that the Holy Spirit wasn't there already, telling me I shouldn't have done that thing. Come on. We don't sin most of the time for lack of knowledge. The Holy Spirit is often there helping us. It's just that we don't always tune into his voice, that still small voice, that conscience, that leading. That's the Holy Spirit trying to guide you, helping you. And listen, he's not a spirit of condemnation. He's not a spirit who's there beating you up, telling you how bad you did, how you can never be good enough, how you on your worst day, God's not happy with you. No, no. He's an advocate. He's for you. You know, it's like those lawyers who come out with those commercials, how they're on your side, they're with you. Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. He's with you. He's on your side. He's an advocate. Here's the third thing. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Everybody say comforter. So he's a helper to us. He's an advocate to us. And he's also our comforter. Look at John chapter 14. This is a couple chapters earlier. John chapter 14, verses 26 through 27. Look at what Jesus said. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Listen to these words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit he's a comforter to us. He's with us. He not only is a helper to us, he's not only an advocate, but there are times when he comes to us and he brings us the peace of God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a Sunday morning where you came in here maybe just tired, maybe just beat down, you had a bad week, you were stressing about a certain situation, maybe you had a need in your life that was just weighing on you? You ever had a Sunday morning and you came in and it was just like the perfect Sunday morning for you? Like the worship songs, you're like, this is amazing. Like the worship songs were just for me. Like every song was for me. Like, how did they know, right? And then like the message, oh gosh, Pastor Jeremy just spoke. Like, did Pastor Jeremy read my mail? What's going on? He's spying on me? Because the message spoke exactly to me. And when I came in, like that greeter smiled at me and told me how amazing I looked in this outfit. And I just needed that. I needed somebody to smile at me and tell me how good I looked. And the donuts just tasted like especially good today. And the coffee was just right. It was amazing. You ever had a Sunday like that? And you just leave built up. You leave encouraged. You feel a little bit stronger than when you came in. Anybody at all? I hope somebody. That's what this church is all about. Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. That was more than just because you sang some inspirational songs and you drank a good cup of coffee and you heard a motivational speech, okay? That's because the Holy Spirit met you here. Like, we prayed over this service during the week. And our teams all around this place on a Sunday morning are praying for you before you even got here. Production and worship team are in here praying for you. The guest services team is praying for you. The kids ministry is praying for you, praying for your kids. And so when you came into this place, we prayed and we invited the presence of the Holy Spirit here to meet us. And so I want you to know, whenever you have a day like that, it's because you came into the presence of God. And you've sensed that before. Some of you know, like, God met you here in a very special way. And there's some of you in this place, this is all very new to you. Church is new to you. A Bible-believing church like this is new to you. You're still sorting out what you believe. But there's something inside of you, deep on the inside, like you felt it. Like you felt something. Like, you know, there's been times where God has met you here. And that's why you're still here. Because even though you're not even quite sure what all of these crazy Christians believe, meeting in a movie theater, you knew that God met you here in a special way. And you sensed truth in the worship. You sensed truth in the message that spoke to you. And I want you to know that's because the Holy Spirit is he's a comforter to us. He knows how to comfort us when we don't even know how to comfort ourselves. I love this verse here. I love what Jesus said in verse 27. Peace I give with you. I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. See, there have been times in my life when I've met with God in a special way and he comforted me in a way that nobody else could comfort me. I'm thankful for the comfort of my wife. I'm thankful for the comfort of my friends and family. I'm thankful for the comfort of food. How many of you love some comfort food? Amen. Hallelujah. And we turn to it, don't we, at times? Pile it on. I'm Pentecostal, okay? We couldn't drink or dance growing up, but we made up for it by eating. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so I'm thankful for all these other things that we look to for comfort. But I'm telling you, there have been times in my life when I've met with God in a special way, that his Spirit strengthened me, that he comforted me in a way that nobody else could comfort me. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit can give you a peace that the world cannot give you. That's why I love this verse so much, because it's connected to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says there's a peace that the Spirit of God wants to give to you when you're in a trial, when you're in a difficult situation, when you're stressed, when you're worried. There's a peace that can come to you from the Holy Spirit that the world cannot give to you. Now, here's the thing, guys. We have to make room for it. We have to make room for it, because here's the reality. We turn to so many other things trying to find peace, and we wonder why we can't find the peace of God. We're turning to try to find peace in relationships, trying to find peace on a spending spree, trying to find, you know, peace in this or that, or turning to drinking too much or overeating, whatever. We turn to all of these different things, and we don't make room sometimes, and we wonder, God, like, where are you? And the Holy Spirit's like, make some room for me, because I want to give you a peace that the world cannot give to you, and that is because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And if some of you are here today, you need that peace. We're going to pray at the end of this service. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come in and to bring the peace of God into our lives. As we close this morning, I want to read to you this quote from Francis Chan, the pastor and best-selling author. He said this, "I want to live so that I am truly submitted to the Spirit's leading on a daily basis. Christ said it's better for us that the Spirit came, and I want to live like that is true. I don't want to keep crawling when I have the ability to fly." Love those words. I don't want to keep crawling through life when I have the ability to fly. And sometimes we do that. We find ourselves crawling through life when the Holy Spirit wants to give you the ability to soar. You know, we talked at the beginning of the message that life is just better when you have somebody with you. Right? One of the greatest things about any close relationship, any family, friend, spouse, whoever, is just to have somebody who's in it with you. When somebody has your back, listen to me, there are things you can do in life. There are things you can endure. There are things you can overcome. There are things that you can achieve as long as you have somebody with you in your corner cheering you on. Come on, how many of you know that's true? Left to ourselves, if we're isolated, if we feel alone, we might fall flat. But when you have somebody in it with you, you can go further and faster and longer. And there are things that you can accomplish when you have somebody in your corner that you can't accomplish by yourself. Now listen, if that's true of human relationships, how much more true is that of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? If that's true of human relationships, how much more can we accomplish when we cultivate an awareness that the Holy Spirit isn't just this mystical thing out there? He's not just a ghost. He is a person. There's a personhood to him. There's a personhood to the Trinity. He's a comforter. He's an advocate. He's a helper. He's a counselor. He's with me on a daily basis. How much further could you go? What could you overcome? What difficulties are you facing that you could get through? If you could cultivate this awareness, if you could make room for him, if you could tune out all of the other noise that you allowed to come into your life and all the other things you filled your life with trying to find peace, if you could just create some room, some space for the Holy Spirit to come in and speak to you, what difference would that make in your life? Because here's the final thought I want to leave you with. The Holy Spirit with me is greater than me alone. That's the bottom line. The Holy Spirit with me is greater than me alone. I see some great people in this church this morning. I love a lot of you. I'm your biggest fan. When I see you, you make me smile. I'm cheering you on. You're awesome. You're good looking. You're multi-talented. You ought to see yourselves, really. You're a good looking church. You guys clean up well on a Sunday morning. You are an amazing group of people. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit with you is a lot better than you alone. You are a much better you plus the Holy Spirit. And we got to cultivate an awareness of that. We got to say, God, give us eyes to see. God, give us ears to hear that we're tuned into your Spirit. Give us eyes to see life, situations, problems, everyday stuff we face. God, give us eyes to see it with the help of your Holy Spirit. What would that look like for you? How would that change things? How would that change the problems you face? How would that change your marriage? How would that change the situations you're facing right now? See, last week I taught you one really simple prayer. It's a three-word prayer. Can you remember a three-word prayer? It's a really good prayer to start with. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We just pause and we stop and we invite him into our lives. Are you facing any situations where you could use a helper? Holy Spirit, come. Where you could use an advocate, a counselor who's got your back? Holy Spirit, come. You facing any situations where you could use a helper to be with you? Someone to comfort you? Holy Spirit, come. What would happen if, you know, when things are tense at work, when your boss is driving you crazy, or those coworkers are getting on your nerves, if you could just stop and say, Holy Spirit, come into this situation. What would it look like when you get that bad report from the doctor that just stresses you all out and you need that comfort? Holy Spirit, come. What would happen if the barista at Starbucks got your order wrong one more time when you know how much you needed that caffeine going to work? If you just said, Holy Spirit, come. Help me to realize that these little things aren't the end of the world. Come on, are you with me this morning? That three-word prayer would change our lives. And so stand with me this morning as we pray, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to pray, Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Just stay focused for a moment. The worship team is coming back. We're going to sing another song in just a moment, but this is a moment of reflection. This is a moment between you and the Holy Spirit. This is a moment to reflect and say, Lord, speak to me. What are you saying to me? Lord, what are you saying to me about my life, about my situation, about my needs, about the things I'm facing? And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. You know, for some of you, here's the thing I want to pray. We prayed this last week. For some of you, this is such a new idea to you. Like the work of the Spirit, the person of the Spirit, his role in our lives. I know it's a new thing to you. I want to just pray for your faith to be lifted. I believe things can happen, powerful things can happen when the faith level in our lives rises. And the first thing I want to pray for you, if this is really new for you, I just want to pray that God would just give you more faith. To be open to this, say, God, give me more faith to believe that your Spirit is at work in the world and is at work in my life and that, God, you can be close to me. I want to pray for you. And then some of you, I know you're facing some things right now. You're facing some situations where you need a helper, where you need an advocate, you need a counselor, you need a comforter. And you know what we're going to do today? We're going to give those specific needs to him today. Whatever that situation is, in fact, here's what I want you to do when we pray. I want you to speak that situation out. Maybe you don't want to say it loud enough for somebody to hear you, but under your breath, but just name that situation. God, you know this need I'm facing. Here it is. Holy Spirit, come. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave us in this world by ourselves. We're not alone, but God, you gave us the gift of your Holy Spirit who can be with us at all times, everywhere we go. God, I'm praying today that you would give us a greater faith. May the faith level in this room rise to believe that you are present in our lives, to believe that, Holy Spirit, you are at work and you're close to us. God, I'm praying for somebody today who that's a very new thought to them, that God, you would give them the gift of faith to be more open for that. Every one of us in this place, that our faith level would grow to believe, God. To believe and to be more perceptive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Now, God, I'm praying specifically for those today in this place who need some comfort. God, who need a counselor, who need a guide, who need a helper, who need an advocate. God, we're praying right now, Holy Spirit, come into our situation. Holy Spirit, come into our lives. Holy Spirit, come into our homes. Holy Spirit, come into our marriages. Holy Spirit, come into that need, God, that weighs on our hearts. God, come into that need. Holy Spirit, come into that need where we don't have the answer, where it's beyond us. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, today we're asking you to make some room in our lives. God, show us the things that we've turned to that ultimately don't lead to peace, things that have cluttered up our lives. We let go of those things today. And we make room for your Holy Spirit to come and work in our lives. We receive it today in Jesus' name. If you believe it, would you say amen? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.